Acts chapter 4, if you would turn there. We've been preaching through the book of Acts. We're looking, what did the disciples do that God blessed in such huge ways? And tonight, they boldly preached the gospel. They boldly preached the gospel. So Acts chapter 4, look at verse number 9. We're just taking this a little bit at a time. If you remember, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. They healed a man. He asked for something. He asked for money. And Peter said, I don't have any money, but here, I'll give you what I do have. And he healed him. So this lame man stood up and walked. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man rose up. He walked. And we saw God work in just an amazing, amazing way. Acts chapter the end of Acts chapter 3, they're preaching the gospel to people. People are coming together and they're listening because of this amazing thing that happened. Acts chapter 4, verse 9, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders have come together and they're questioning them. They're giving them a hard time for speaking in the name of Jesus. All right, Acts chapter 4, 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. If you're wondering how this man got healed, it was through the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And here's what they're doing. They're being challenged for speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. But they continue to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And they say, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They said, there's not salvation found in any other man but by Jesus Christ. As they are faced with the possibility of persecution, Jesus has just been crucified not very long ago for teaching that he was the Son of God. And they called it blasphemy. And as they're being questioned and as they're being pressured, they just decide, hey, we're just going to go ahead and boldly preach the gospel. And we're going to break that down. We're going to do it kind of quickly this evening. So their good deed of healing this lame man opened the door. It led to an opportunity to share the gospel. Now, because they shared the gospel, I want you to look at verse number 1. They had spent all night in jail because they're preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, we're kind of going backwards now. We started at verse number 9. Now, we're going back to verse number 1. What happened before this? What was the backstory to verse number 9? Well, verse number 1, Acts chapter 4, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, talking about Jesus, this is Peter and John, they're talking about Jesus, and as they spake to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's what they're preaching. And the religious leaders don't like it. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So stop here. They're preaching about Jesus. They're telling people about Jesus. They're telling people about how Jesus rose again. They're telling the people that Jesus is the one who healed this man. The religious leaders come, and the Bible says they put them in prison, and the Bible says it's overnight. They're going to jail overnight because they are preaching the gospel. Okay, so it's a story. It's first century Jerusalem. Okay. Wait a minute. If you were thrown in jail last night because you were telling somebody about Jesus, how would you feel about it? This is them. They were just put in jail because they're telling people about Jesus. That's all they're doing. The next morning, they're called to testify before the council. And this council has the power to condemn them. Not just to, you know, not condemn like that, all right? Shame on you. But kill them for what they are preaching. This council has the power to decide if they're going to go to prison, if they're going to die. And so, Acts chapter 4, verse 5. Look at this. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. They have got all the top rulers here of this religion of the Jews and the people in Israel here. And verse 7, and when they had set them in the middle of them, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? How did you heal this man? What name did you do this? They've already told him, we don't want you talking in the name of Jesus. If you talk in the name of Jesus, we are not going to be happy. Look what we did to him. We crucified him. They put him in jail overnight. The next morning, they bring him out, probably thinking, okay, maybe this will teach him. They put him in the middle of all these guys, the chief priests and all these leaders that have all this power. And they say, okay, now tell us, what name did you heal this man in? And that's where we get to our text. In verse 9, they say, well, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, this lame man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Remember, they're in the middle of all these leaders. They've already been told not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they said, right there, verse number 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. They were told not to preach in the name of Jesus, and they just continued preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to continue speaking boldly in the name of Jesus. They preached in the name of Jesus. They preached about his healing power. They said, Jesus, and through the faith in his name, that's what made this man whole. And I want you to understand that not only could he heal the sick and the lame and the oppressed that were alive 2,000 years ago, but he can heal you today. Listen, he can heal your soul. He can forgive your sins. And yes, he can heal your body. And we're not a faith-healing church because we don't need that proof that Jesus is God. We see that Jesus is God. We got all the proof we need in the resurrection. But he can. Sometimes he chooses not to. When you ask, the Apostle Paul said, I've got a thorn in my flesh, and I've asked God three times to take it away, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to let you have it. You just keep that. But I've seen too many times where somebody prayed, and God did heal that person to know that he can do it if he chooses to. They preached about his healing power. Now, what I want to focus on there is not the healing of our body, because that's really secondary, but the healing of our souls. What I want you to understand is Jesus Christ can heal your soul. Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. Jesus Christ can take the old, dirty sinner that I am and that you are, and he can forgive that, and he can cleanse that, and he can change that. Though our sins be as scarlet, the Bible says, they shall be white as snow. Wow. He can still heal. And they came and they said, listen, this is the Jesus. Be it known unto you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand you before you whole. They preached Jesus Christ. They preached about his healing power. They preached, about Jesus' rejection by his people. In verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He's the chief cornerstone. The one stone that was most needed is the stone that the religious leaders rejected. If you're going to build a building, and I believe it's talking about foundation. I've heard people talking about the capstone of a pyramid, and I understand where they're going with that. But so many times it's just talked about laying the cornerstone, like if you would lay a foundation. So I see that. If you're going to build a building, you want to build a big foundation. If you're going to build a building out of stones and you don't have concrete, you're going to use the big, strong, solid stones, and they would call it the chief stone or the cornerstone. And the religious leaders, if Jesus was the chief cornerstone, the religious leaders rejected that chief cornerstone. And this is what Peter and John are saying to them. Listen, you rejected him. Psalm 118:22 tells us that's going to happen. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner, talking about Jesus. Of course, it was hundreds of years before Jesus came. Looking back, now Peter's the one preaching this message. Peter also wrote one of the books of the Bible, two of the books of the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter. And in 1st Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he talks about that chief cornerstone again. He's preaching to these people about rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting their Savior. I mentioned this morning, let me say it again. You have a choice to either accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't do both. And you can't do neither. You either have to accept him or reject him, and there's no middle ground. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you have eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've accepted him, you have everlasting life. If you have not accepted him, then you've rejected him, and the Bible says you are condemned already. And this is what they're saying to these Jews. Listen, you've rejected the chief cornerstone. 2 Peter 2:7, Peter said it this way, Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You either can accept Jesus Christ or you reject Jesus Christ. And in this case, they were bold and they said, we're preaching in the name of Jesus. We're preaching that he is the chief cornerstone and you've rejected him. And we're preaching that he is the one that healed this man. Can you just picture that man? He's sitting there and he's been lame since he was born. He couldn't walk. He's crippled. But all of a sudden, because Peter and John were there and they healed him in the name of Jesus Christ, he was healed. And the Bible says walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple. So they preached the name of Jesus Christ. They preached the crucifixion. They preached the resurrection. And we're not going to take the time to go into the details of both of those. We've done that a lot recently. I'm not taking the time tonight because there's something else that I want to focus on, and that is this. They preached salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Here's what they said. Neither is there salvation in any other. This is huge. This offends people. Not that we're trying to offend anybody, but this does offend people. If you were to ask movie stars, if you were to ask famous people, if you were to ask people that have a lot of respect in this world, how do you get to heaven? You know, a lot of them are going to give you lots of different answers. But what the Bible says is that, and here's what Peter said as they're preaching to these Jewish religious leaders, and he says, neither is there salvation in any other. That's in verse number 12. I want to finish the rest of that verse. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is so important for us to understand. You've got to get this tonight. Most of you know this, so this is going to be a refresher in very, very important doctrine. But if this is the very first time you heard this, I want you to hear this because this could change your life. There is not salvation in any other. I'm going to give you some reasons. First of all, because Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. I'm going to give you some verses and I'm going to give them to you quick. Are you ready? The Bible says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That means God is in heaven. We are on this earth. We are sinful people. He is a holy God. And there's one person that came between. There's one mediator. There's one person that can bridge the gap between sinful man and a holy God, and that is Jesus Christ. Let me read that verse to you again. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's why there's not salvation in any other. That means there's no other person that can save you. That means Buddha can't save you. That means Muhammad can't save you. That means Mary can't save you. Now, a lot of people look at that and say, well, she's the mediatrix. No. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other because Jesus is the one who died on the cross. Jesus is the one who shed his blood. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. There's not salvation in any other, first of all, because Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Second, because Jesus is the only way to the Father. He said it. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if I'm trusting somebody else to get me to God, I'm not going to get there. Do you understand how big this is? Do you understand how important this is, how vital this is? If you are trusting your mom or your dad to get you to God, it's not going to work. If you're going to trust a religion to get you to God, it's not going to work. If you're trusting me to get you to God, it's not going to work. I can't get anybody to God. It's only Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who died on the cross and shed his precious blood for your sins. There's not salvation in any other also because Jesus is the one who shed his blood for our sin. I've got to share some of these Bible verses with you because they are so, so important. Before Jesus was arrested, before he was taken to the cross, he told his disciples that his blood would be shed for the remission of sins. And this is what he said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. My blood, Jesus said, is going to be shed. I'm going to willingly die and I'm going to shed my blood for you for the remission of sins, to take your sins away. At his trial, the mob of people, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said, you sure you want me to crucify him? I can let Barabbas out to you, or I can let Jesus out to you. And they said, crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas. And then they said, let me read this to you. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, But that rather a tumult was made, a mob was working up. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And they publicly admitted that Jesus' blood would be upon them. We are guilty of his death. They said that. His blood be upon us and upon all our children. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the Jewish religious leaders complained. And it's in the next chapter. We'll get to it in the book of Acts as we go. But I'm going to read it to you. The Jewish leaders complained that the disciples, you're accusing us of being responsible for the death of Christ. You're accusing us of being responsible for his blood. Now remember, the people said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Yeah, we'll take the blame for killing him. Just a little bit later, these religious leaders, they don't want that blame anymore. And they said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. And I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. It's saying of chapter 5, verse 28 of Acts. Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. This is just kind of a side note here, but I want you to see it. Jesus said, my blood will be shed for the remission of your sins. The people all said, yes, his blood will be upon us. We'll take the blame. We are guilty for his crucifixion. A couple of not very long later, probably just a few months later, now we've got the religious leaders saying, we don't want to take credit for killing him anymore. We don't want to take the blame for his blood anymore. But I want you to understand this about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was shed for the remission of our sins. The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, justifies us. Romans 5:9, the Bible says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We can be saved from wrath because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is so important. This precious blood is God's blood. It wasn't the blood of a human being. It wasn't sinful blood. It wasn't the blood that was passed from Adam all the way down. This was the blood of God. And this sinless, perfect, precious blood was shed for you. And the blood of Jesus Christ justifies us. Justified, the great easiest way to remember that is just remembering the word means just as if I'd never sinned. When God looks at you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he looks at you and he sees you just as if you'd never sinned because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus justifies us. The blood of Jesus brings remission of sins. The blood of Jesus redeems us and forgives us. That means he shed his blood to buy us back and to forgive us of our sins. Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Why is there not salvation in any other? Because no other person shed their blood, and no other person's blood was the perfect blood like Jesus Christ was. The blood of Jesus justifies us, it redeems us, it forgives us. The blood of Jesus sanctifies us. Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. What a great picture this is. Jesus was taken outside of the gate of Jerusalem, and he was executed. He was crucified on that cross. Just like the sacrificial lamb would have been taken out, and his blood would have been shed, he suffered without the gate. All this and more, Jesus' blood was shed for you. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way for salvation, and there is no other name for salvation. The angel told Joseph what to name the baby that would save his people from their sins. You remember this story going back to Christmas. Remember, we'll preach about the Christmas story right around Christmas time, but it's a great story to preach anytime, so I'm going to read it to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the angel comes to Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, okay, here's what the angel says to Joseph. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What did Peter say? Peter and John, they just healed this man. They spent all night in jail. Now they're preaching the name of Jesus. And they said, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. listen to the references to the name of Jesus as we read through the book of Acts. I'm going to read just parts of verses to you. If you, and this is what I did, I looked up this phrase, name of Jesus. I've never done it before. I did that, and what I realized was that exact phrase, name of Jesus, in the New Testament only appears in the book of Acts and in Corinthians and one other place. But over and over in the book of Acts, listen to this as we talk about the name of Jesus. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And why are we making a big deal about this? Because these disciples, they just decided, we're just going to preach the name of Jesus. We're going to preach in the name of Jesus. We are boldly going to proclaim the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter if we get thrown back in jail. Doesn't matter if we are persecuted or executed. We're going to preach the name of Jesus. And they said this to those leaders, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. In another place, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And in another place, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. If you skip a few chapters in the book of Acts, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. A little bit later on, Paul gets saved, and Barnabas, the Bible says, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he'd spoken to him and how he'd preached boldly at Damascus. You know what's next? In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. They're preaching in the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus changes everything. There was a demon-possessed girl that was following the Apostle Paul around, and he's preaching in the name of Jesus, and she was following him around. And this demon-possessed girl, the Bible says she had a devil, and she was saying things, and she was making a big scene. Paul finally got tired of it, and the Bible says, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He came out the same hour. Listen, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want you to understand also that God gave Jesus a name that's higher than any name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, and we're done with this. Philippians 2, verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. They preached the gospel. They preached the death. They preached the burial. They preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They preached about his healing. They preached about his rejection. They preached that salvation is only through Jesus Christ alone, and that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the gospel. A couple things and we're done. First of all, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to be your Savior, you need to do that tonight. That is the only way to have eternal life. That is the only way to spend eternity in heaven. The second thing is this. Don't let anybody stop you from teaching or speaking or preaching in the name of Jesus. Let me encourage you Christians to be bold in your witness and to share the name of Jesus and tell people about Jesus and pray in the name of Jesus and to share the gospel in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would use this message that was preached tonight. And Lord, first of all, I'm going to ask that you do this, if you would convict hearts. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight who has not yet trusted you as their Savior, Lord, tonight I pray would be the night that they do, the night that they accept Jesus Christ as the complete and full payment for their sins, and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, there may be someone here tonight, and I pray that you would just put your Spirit upon them, and I pray that you would convict them and help them to understand, yeah, that's me. I understand that God's speaking to me. Lord, I pray that you just make that so very real.